Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
I, by my acting and reacting, get a proper opinion of the nature and the character of God. And the more I know God, the more I will be able to pattern after God.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about teaching teens prayer. This message was recorded at a ministry conference in 1999. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, teaching teens prayer.
But to see young men come up across our nation who are burdened to love teenagers, I guarantee we would not see what we've seen in the last 2 years in public high school shootings had someone made the extra effort to show love to these young people. I have on file research on Marilyn Manson. I didn't know Marilyn Manson from Adam's House Cat. Somebody asked me if I knew Marilyn Manson. I thought she was a girl rock singer. I didn't know who that was. And they said, no, this guy is weird. He is a man. He's taken his name from Marilyn Monroe and Charles Manson. Perverts and murderers. Well, I asked our librarian to start doing some research for me to get as much information as he could for me on this Marilyn Manson. And lo and behold, I found that he was a skinny reject, public high school. His parents, who were unsaved, the dad was never there, decided he would get a better treatment in a Christian school, so they enrolled him in a Christian school in Ohio. And all the time in that Christian school, he never seemed to fit. And I wonder if someone perhaps had taken enough time to see this little different looking person. And rather than accuse of blasphemy, maybe get to know that individual just a little bit more. He said, in his autobiography, he said, I am not against real Christianity. He said, I am out to destroy Christians who know nothing about love. What was he saying? My first concert, it was a flop. He said, but people applauded and I felt like I had arrived. He said, no, I know I'm under judgment. He said, I was afraid to go forward to accept Christ as my Savior in a public meeting for fear of the mocking and fear of the things that would come. But he said, no, I cannot be alone. I cannot be in a room without music, without noise, without television. I know I'm under judgment because when I get off the stage after a performance, I go back to my self-destructive mode and I know God will get me. Well, I don't think he ever did get a picture of who God really is and who God's love really is. Now he's become a pattern for a generation of kids who are looking for family, are looking for acceptance. And I really feel to have people to stay focused ministering to young people, it will make you weird. You'll never be normal. I preached at a school in Pennsylvania, and these kids were being herded into chapel, and I could tell they were not real thrilled, and I knew they weren't going to be all thrilled about hearing me. So I got up after they did the song and did the pledge and did the things that do. I got up, and I looked around, and I said, I don't know why I'm here. I don't even like you. Because they went through the routine and then clicked off. You know how you do? Well, we can survive another challenge. And I said, I don't like you even. I said, you think you don't like me? I don't like you. I'm not a normal man. And all of a sudden these kids start, and I got out of the pulpit, I came down the steps, I walked up the aisle, and these kids had to follow. I said, I am not a normal man. And I said, it's because you and your kind, have made me like I am. And these kids were, what in the world landed in our chapel? So they started waking up just a little bit. I remember I was in Whitewater, Wisconsin. There's a home there for retired youth workers, I think. I was in McDonald's reading, and I heard a man off in the corner. And I was reading my Bible as I normally do. I was speaking at Camp Joy. This was years and years ago. And I heard this man say, "Reluctant? What do you mean, reluctant?" Loudly, and I looked up. I thought he was arguing. He was all by himself. I thought, former youth worker. He was making an announcement about getting reservations in for summer camp, and some of the parents were coming and say, "We're reluctant to send our kids that far." And he snapped. And now he is in that home. So I told these young people about that home. I said, I'm going to get a bed ordered there. Then I walked slowly back to the pulpit, and I said, "Really, I don't dislike you. I love you. Or I wouldn't be here." I said, we need to get a grip on what is real Christianity. What does it mean to be a Christian? Is there anything to being Christian? Is there anything to it? And if there is something to it, then we had better get to a point where we will sell out in a way that will not be a half-hearted sellout, but be a total abandonment to what is God's perfect will and God's perfect placement. And I'm so grateful to see men for years plowing up in the upper Michigan area with young people. Just, you can always count, they're plowing in the trenches with young people. I just came from preaching at a banquet, just a well-done banquet, very small area. But laymen in the church that had everything for years and years, just faithfully serving and faithfully plowing with young people in the church. I'm still in youth ministry. Youth group has gotten older and a little bit larger, but I still see myself as a youth pastor ministering to needs of people who are in desperate need for 100% sellout. What's the most effective thing we can do in getting young people motivated to a godly walk? I think it's the ministry of prayer. And I want to challenge you, the last minutes that we have together, is the aspect of a prayer ministry with your teens. How can you get a prayer ministry started with them? Occasionally, I would have all-day prayer meetings. I used to advertise no pop, no pizza, no party, just prayer. Saturday morning, 8:30 to whenever. And we would meet at the church for prayer. But we did not just come together and start praying. I had a pattern and a plan that we used years ago in setting up a prayer pattern and a prayer ministry. And it was three steps that we would use in this. We would come together, first of all, and I would set a pattern for adoration. That is the first aspect of praying. So when we started at 8:30, I would have songs chosen, songs of adoration. And then I would send the young people aside with Bible reading assignments. We would read maybe some Psalms. We'd read maybe the book of Philippians. We would read whatever chapters that I would assign. And we would get apart for about a half hour and let every young person be alone for about a half hour with the word. And then they would be recording things of adoration. Adoration for who God is. And adoration for what God does, His character and His works. This is the aspect of teaching the worship. What is worship? It is exalting the worth of God. Look through the scriptures and find how many times worship is mentioned. After Job repented, he bowed his face to the ground and worshiped. After David came to repentance, what did he do? He bowed himself to the ground and worshiped. Well, if you follow this whole pattern through, you start to develop a view of who God is. Now, the back of your sheet, this triangle, this is a biographical triangle of God. Challenge your young people. If you could take these sheets, duplicate these, and get stacks of these that the young people can keep in their Bible reading and prayer book. So when you have a a reading. For example, if they're reading through Psalms or through their Bible program, every time they come across a description of God, they record in one of these little triangles what that description is. Psalm 46 and verse 1. Okay, one verse as a case in point. God is our what? Refuge. What is a refuge? Yeah, a hiding place. Those of you who have been over to Israel know when you go down in the caves by the Dead Sea where David would flee, running from Saul, you could picture him saying, God, I'm in rocks, but God, you truly are my refuge. Ever felt like you needed a refuge in life? God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Have you ever gotten to where you had no strength left at all? You say, well, I can't. Well, who is my strength? God is my strength. God is my strength. Or my God is my help. My God is Father. My God is. So every time you come across something that describes God. Now, what are some of the other attributes of God that you could build in? Name some of the other attributes of God or other passages of Scripture, and the Bible is full. You'll fill many, many of these triangles as you read through. By the way, I hope all of you do have a read through the Bible plan. And as you're reading through, you will come across some chapters where you will have many things. And you will keep, and I keep it in my prayer, in my manna prayer book. And then the first part of the prayer time then is adoration. Name some others. What's John 14:6? The way, truth, the life. What are some other attributes? He is all knowing. He is love. God is order. He is holy. My God is wise. My God is mercy. Just. He is my rock. Cornerstone. He is a jealous God. Provider. Jehovah Jireh. That is a great thing, not Jehovah Visa. Because what happens, our generation, we have come to know Jehovah Visa, and we don't then get to know Jehovah Jireh. And we don't see that aspect. God is my provider. My God is my rock. My God is my protector. So what are we doing here? We are building a picture of God. What is our purpose for being alive? We are alive to glorify God. The root idea of glory is opinion. So what does that mean? I, by my acting and reacting, get a proper opinion of the nature and the character of God. And the more I know God, the more I will be able to pattern after God, because to know Him, it would be to imitate Him. So what are you doing with your young people then? You are focusing them on who God is. There's no more greater security in life than the security of knowing who God is and who I am, and then who I am in relationship to being God's child. I mean, that is a powerful thought when that mind registers that I am loved, period. Not if. God loves me, period. So what you could do as a youth worker is give them reading assignments for several weeks and have them dig out of their reading assignments. And you could pick some of the Psalms and maybe the minor prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah. These books are packed with descriptions of God. All of the Old Testament, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Why do you need this? This is the first portion of your prayer time. You take your biographical triangle, and you start to worship the Lord. You take your triangle, say, God, I praise you that you are my rock and my refuge and my strength. I praise you, God, that you are my Father. I praise you, God, that you are my rock and my wise one, and you are my protector, my strong tower. God, I need strength today. You are my strength. You can do that while you are laying in bed in the morning, before your feet ever hit the floor. And I think that's one thing we have to try to get into our heads, and then we can communicate this. So what I would do, I would take about an hour and a half in the adoration phase in that all-day prayer meeting. I would give a reading assignment. We would sing for about 10 or 15 minutes songs of adoration. And then I would send them aside to read for a half hour the passages that I would give. And then we would come back together for that next half hour. We would take time to testify as to what they discovered about God. Then we break up in prayer groups and say, okay, now let's pray through the list that we have. And you, with the list right in front of them, say, God, you are my, and then each one of you, whether it's a circle of eight or a circle of 10, each one who prays in that circle gets the idea that the first portion of my prayer time is adoration. You could have a half hour of praying in before you get to the breakfast table in the morning. The time you lay in bed, the time you're in the shower, and you're singing in that shower. You're spending time in adoration. And then also keep a works of God diary for that, to make sure that there is a work of God diary. The next phase of the prayer time, and I would go for another hour plus, hour to an hour and a half plus in the agreement portion of prayer. That is the confession portion of prayer. What I would do is I would pick songs during a confession time that would be songs like invitation type songs. Have thine own way, Lord. Search me, O God. Just as I am. Songs that would be geared to the conscience, geared to conviction, that would be there. And then maybe take 10 or 15 minutes of singing, of getting the idea of the word and the content of that song. What agreement is confession. It's agreeing with God about what I am. And it's agreeing with God about what I need. I think you see this with Nehemiah when he came to view the walls. Nehemiah confessed personal sin and he confessed national sin. Now, what you do with the list here is you start having a kid's list, national sins. What are some national sins that we need to confess as believers? Abortion. And while you're writing, they're calling things out to be put on the list of national sins. Our Supreme Court ruling of asking God out of public life. What a horrible, horrible step in our nation in the 60s when God was ruled out of public life by our Supreme Court. What other national sins? Abortion issues, the porn industry, leadership that has gone away from God. And then you go make a list of personal sins. And on this, I say, do not be specific about matters God is dealing with you in your heart. But you can put categories of pride, rebellion, wrong focus, wrong values. And they would start calling things out that would go on their agreement list, agreeing with God about what we are as a nation and then what I am as a person. And then it's good to assign passages. For example, the passages of David's confession of sin in the 2 Samuel passages, Psalm 32, Psalm 51. Take the book of Judges where you took the Samson when he came to a point finally where he cried out unto God. Take the passages they would read about people agreeing with God about what they are. Then you'd come together and break up in groups. And then what are some things in the group that we need to pray for? What are some things that we need to guard against in the group? And then the last thing is the formulation of a prayer list that is in asking. And that is intercession. That's dealing with others. And there's where you need to get a list. Your prayer list for missionaries. You have the list of missionaries, of church staff, friends, unsaved loved ones. That's why in the manna book, I have set up a one day for unsaved, one day for missions, one day for national leaders, local leaders, political leaders that you have in that prayer list. And then a list of backslidden, those away from God. Then there's a daily list that you would put on personal, family, etc. But that is petition then. for self. And if you could help these young people to get a book, whether you picked up the manna book, if you have your own plan, but get them on some kind of a systematic plan that would get them praying. And for years and years and years, I saw this work with the youth ministry. And then in all the years we've been in the revival ministries on the road of getting these prayer ministries started. The asking list grows, but then they need to learn to put a star by answered prayer. Then that becomes the basis of a works of God testimony. This is what God did. This is how God answered prayer. And that is a thing you can do. If you're keeping an accurate prayer list, what things would you have put on your prayer list this week? Salvation request for this week, for the preaching today, that it would bear fruit. You'd list the families of those who have lost children in the massacre in Colorado. The Detroit News yesterday, I saw headlines. The first girl they had listed, her picture said, recently became a born-again Christian. I read this morning's paper of kids who were saved after this one boy, who he had witnessed to them time and time and time and time again. The boy got saved that night at an activity. And it was in Milwaukee Journal this morning, the testimony of this boy's conversion, and said many, many more will be accepting Christ as Savior because of the testimony of this young man who was shot. He was so burdened. And they say they knew if dying was what it would take for people to get saved, then that's how God would choose to work. So you see some of the miraculous testimonies in what's coming out of some of these tragedies, but then you have to understand how are you going to do these memorial services? How would you like to be the pastor doing the memorial service for the two boys who did the killing? I mean, you stop to think and pray, God, you be exalted. We have many youth ministries out in that area. Some of our grads and some of our acquaintances out there in that area. Several of those churches had kids from their youth group in Columbine High School. And some of them saw some of the shootings. And pray for the opportunity for those youth pastors to get in and contact and be a testimony and be a witness during some of those times. It's exciting days to be involved in youth ministry, because communities, if ever before, should have their arms wide open to anyone who would show any love and any interest at all in the kids in the area. Someone who would just say, I care and I love. And it's such a thrill. It's a thrill to see what's happening locally here. How many kids were on the teens this week at the Pembine High School? Yeah, kids from this area now, and that outreach is expanding with the vision there. And if we can keep the hooks in the water in those areas, somebody who would just show some interest in these young people. Remember when we had one big activity, we did a picture autograph hunt. I'm sure some of you have tried them. We have an adult driver, a carload of teens, and I gave them a list. They had to go out and get a picture and an autograph of a used car salesman, a policeman, a fireman, a nun, a priest, a secretary, a preacher. I had 10 names on that list. An adult driver with a Polaroid camera, and they would go, and when the car scattered, they'd hit our mother of perpetual responsibility and be banging on the doors there. And I'm looking through some of these old albums, and there's this carload of kids standing with these nuns outside of this place, and they have a nun, used car salesman, Slick Eddie. And boy, he looked like a Slick Eddie too. There was one carload did not have a policeman's signature. So they were driving on Gratiot Avenue going towards Detroit. And one of the girls said, there's a policeman right there. They were going down by Roseville, by 12 Mile in Gratiot. And so they slammed the brakes on, and this girl jumps out and hails this policeman down. And he pulls his car off, thinks some panic thing is going on. She said, we're from Calvary Baptist Youth and we are on this picture. We need to get a picture and an autograph of a policeman. You're the only one we haven't gotten yet before we can win. So he pulled his car farther off the road and he stood there by his car, took the picture with his carload of kids, signed the picture. And Monday I got a call. There was a note on my desk. Please call Lieutenant Young from the Roseville Police Department. I said, oh boy. Destructo days went too far this time, I think. And I said, yes, this is Les. We have a Kiwanis club that meets, the businessmen. He said, you guys are doing so much for the youth of this community. Would you come and speak to, there's about 70 businessmen who meet every Tuesday for lunch. Could you come and speak to us and tell what you're doing? And how you're burdened for the youth of this community. Well, being visible, they opened that door, and then it opened more doors to minister. And I've run into these kids all over the country. I just was in Atlanta, Georgia, and I got a call at the hotel. And it was a boy that is in a youth group years ago who has runs his own corporation down there. Now, and he had heard through somebody else that I had preached in one of the churches and tracked me down. And every time I get with these kids, no matter where I travel, there's some one of those kids, and they all have a story. They all have a memory of some of these going out and getting involved in the community. Pray much, but I am convinced that every other organization, everything we can do, will come to naught from a eternal standpoint until we get to praying. And not just adults praying, but organize our youth groups to praying diligently for God's name to be exalted, for our sin to be confessed, and our request then to be laid out before Him. What is the pattern prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, confession. And then comes the request. Give us this day our daily bread. That's a pattern prayer. And if you go back and challenge your young people, take this, even this little thing I gave you today, and tear it apart piece by piece and present to them piece by piece, challenge them to a prayer ministry.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala speaking on teaching teens prayer. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.